At the Lim Turner exit right now, we see a crash there. 95, I-10, and Butler Boulevard, problem-free. We are currently under a dense fog advisory, and then later on, the fog will clear, and then we'll have cloudy conditions. 50-50 chance of rain by afternoon, 77 the high. Tonight, more fog and an overnight low of 63. Currently, it is 63 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children in the custody of U.S. Customs Border Patrol. While the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump also issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week. And the Jacksonville Jaguars lost their final game of the season yesterday with just 5 wins and 11 losses. Quarterback Blake Bortles doesn't think the team will keep him next year.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Good morning, Jacksonville. This is Kevin Derby, the editor of Florida Daily. I'm sitting in for my good friend Ed Dean here on the Ed Dean Show. My tag team partner for the day, attorney Ron Davis. How was 2018 treating you? How did 2018 treat you, Ron?
2018 was one of those up and down years. Overall, though, no complaint. Looking forward to 2019.
I got to say, in the Great First Coast, we ended on a bit of a sour note yesterday with the Jacksonville Jaguars getting shellacked by the Houston Texans. 5-11, easily the most disappointing season in Jaguar history, I think, after considering the expectations we had at the start of this year.
Yeah, that's the caveat, because we really thought that we were probably going to end up going far in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, we beat the Patriots.
Exactly. 3-1. 3-1.
Then just went on this huge losing streak and then maybe won a couple in between. But it was a little disappointing. You know, if we get to this point for me, you know, if we're not going to the playoffs, I'm just looking for really good plays within the game.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens next season.
We did not see many of those good plays yesterday. And now Blake Bortles saying, hey, look, this is probably his last game as a Jaguar. I think it's time to move on. Shad Khan did announce yesterday that Coach Doug Marrone will be coming back for a third season. Tom Coughlin will stay. And the one that surprised me, Dave Caldwell will stay as the GM. So it looks like another disappointing year for football on the First Coast. What can we say?
Well, yesterday I was a huge Jags fan.
That's right.
But I'm a Colts fan. So, you know, we started out 1-5.
Yeah.
And, it really turned around. So you just never know what can happen for the Jags next year. I have to admit, I've been a little bit hypocritical this morning because I, have boycotted the NFL for the last 3 years.
Okay.
And I actually last night, uh-huh, watch the game.
That's the one you picked.
That's the one I picked, and I wasn't upset. But I will say one thing: not watching it for 3 years, mm-hmm, it's been interesting because I am no less anxious, upset, or happy, mm-hmm, if I just log in, mm, and see what the score was. I'm actually probably less agitated.
But you know what? Most people do have two favorite teams. You got the hometown team, mm, that you like during the regular season. And if they make it to the playoffs, of course, you stick with your team. But if they don't make it, you have to have a secondary backup team, I think. And you like the Colts, huh?
I like the Colts. I'm not opposed to the Jags. I've always felt kind of bad for Bortles. I felt they threw him in the first year when they shouldn't have. Mm. I don't think that's – I really don't think throwing a rookie quarterback in without – a good offensive foundation, a line, a good running game is a good idea. And I can't think of one quarterback, with the exception of Peyton Manning, in the last 25 years that's actually been thrown into that position and has succeeded.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one before that would be Aikman. And even that, I mean, that first year in Dallas was a disaster. That was 30 years ago now.
But
that
then
was awful.
They got those 13 draft trades,
yeah,
in 2 years, and boy, they built up a foundation for him.
They really did. Trading the Herschel Walker trade all those years ago.
I would have loved to seen Sanders run, mm, behind that Dallas line. As great as Emmett Smith was, I would have loved to seen him run behind that line.
Yeah, absolutely. Barry Sanders was wasted for many, many years in a lot of mediocre Detroit teams. But that's not what we're here to do today. We're not here to talk about the NFL and to turn this into a wailing wall for the Jacksonville Jaguars. 2018 is in the last hours of 2018. 2019 looks ahead. Ron, what do you see as kind of the what are you looking into the crystal ball? What do you see on the national political scene come 2019?
Unfortunately, it's going to be more of the same old, same old. It's going to be the Russian collusion. I really hope we have a resolution of that this year. I've been all the firm opinion since the beginning that there will be no Russian collusion as it relates to the Trump campaign. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I think that's going to be the key focus going forward. It has been for the media. They get sidetracked every once in a while by a tragedy of some type, but they fall back right to it. It looks like it's starting to wrap up with some of the plea deals and everything else. So unfortunately, I think that's it. And then it's going to be Trump impeachment. It's Trump impeachment is going to be the long drawn out and, hopefully it's gets Trump reelected in 2 years.
Looking ahead to where, from my perspective, I think the economy is going to be a big story. Is there going to be a slowdown? I know it's been over a wild few weeks on Wall Street. Now, a lot of us make the mistake of when we look at the economy, just looking at the Dow Jones. I think you got to look at other factors. That's going to be, an interesting one. Trump has the opportunity right now to kind of do what Bill Clinton did after the 1994 elections, completely reset your administration, bring in new people. I'll be curious to see where they go. I'll be very candid. I think the Defense Department, that vacancy, I think that's going to be an interesting pick where they go. I also think Donald Trump has to, just like Bill Clinton did after the 1994 elections, have to pivot a little bit. And that means going back to elections that issues in the 2016 election that I think got him to where he is. This goes beyond the wall. One of the reasons I think Donald Trump beat that massive field of Republican candidates was while Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham and everybody else were all singing, still cheerleading for George W. Bush, essentially, Donald Trump, along with Rand Paul, said, "This is a mistake. Iraq was a mistake. We have got to get the troops home out of Afghanistan. We've got to cut down our involvement in the Middle East." I think what we're seeing a little bit with Syria, with Afghanistan, I think Trump's going there. I think he's starting to kind of take that the troops home. And I think that'll play well in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, three states that Trump carried in 2016, and states where, frankly, the Republicans got shellacked on Election Day. Pennsylvania in particular. It's a state Trump can't afford to lose. The other thing, he talked about $1 trillion for infrastructure and transportation over a 10-year period. He brought in Elaine Chao, Mrs. Mitch McConnell herself, to be the transportation secretary. And let's be honest, with 2 years of Republican control, that ball went nowhere on Capitol Hill. Even though, to be very candid with you, in Florida, we should have been able to take advantage of that. Mario Diaz-Balart, a congressman from South Florida, was in charge of Transportation and Housing and Urban Development Appropriations Committee. That would have been a huge, huge feather in the cap for the great Sunshine State. I think it's an issue that will play well in Michigan, will play well in Pennsylvania, play well in Wisconsin, states Trump needs to get back in 2020. We'll see.
How do you think transportation, and whatever innovations that the president and administration wants to roll out, how will that look? What are we looking for?
Well, I think the big one, to be very candid with you, it's going to be repairing the ports,
okay,
including here in Jacksonville. It would be infrastructure repair on the interstates. I mean, you're looking at the interstates across the country, mm-hmm. U.S. highways, which are kind of under the radar. I mean, folks, and I'm saying this as someone who travels the U.S. highways, the interstates of this great state all the time. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see more and more potholes. You're starting to see more, and not just on the interstates. We're talking about U.S. highways. That's what I'm thinking about. That's, I think, where some of this money could go.
Okay.
The Democrats will want to turn it into bullet trains. And I think that's a mistake. I just don't see much of an appetite there. But I think when it comes down to that kind of basic issue, repairing your highways, repairing the ports, maybe some TSA. More, maybe shift that over from DHS a little bit. I think that's where they could go with it.
When do you believe that the Democratic candidates will begin to announce that they're running? 2019, obviously, and we'll have a peek at who's going to be running for president, challenging Trump if he decides to run for re-election, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're already starting to see a few of them. John Delaney, a congressman from Maryland, bank president's out there already in Iowa. We'll see some of the big dogs come out the next two months or so. I think we'll see a decision from Julian Castro later this month. Michael Bloomberg saying he's going to have a decision by February. Joe Biden keeps putting that decision off, and I'm curious to see where he goes. I think Biden's riding high in the polls right now, but a lot of that's just name recognition. I mean, look, Joe Biden's had two presidential campaigns and frankly never got to New Hampshire in either of them. So we'll see. I think that's going to be the next 2 months, though, essentially, Roger.
Beto O'Rourke, you think he's probably going to run, or you don't know?
Oh, I think he's running. I think Beto O'Rourke is absolutely running. He's not waiting his turn. Look, Democrats don't wait their turns traditionally. Republicans do. Trump was the exception. Beto O'Rourke is going to take his opportunity the way JFK, Clinton, Carter, Obama in 08. He's not waiting his turn. I think he's absolutely running.
Mm. I agree. We talked about that last week. I believe he's going to run. It's going to be interesting, though. He got, I think, a little bit spoiled down there with the amount of money he was able to raise. I think that's going to be a kind of a slap in the face when he throws his name in there about, is he going to be able to raise the kind of money? Which is an advantage he has, having just come through that process. Sure. And having raised it. But I don't, he's splitting the pie now.
He is. And it's going to be interesting to see who else gets in that race. The one thing, we'll talk about this when we get back. But Beto O'Rourke, I think the calendar kind of helps him, not just in terms of bringing in money, but Iowa. I think someone like Beto O'Rourke, like Jimmy Carter, like Mike Huckabee, is going to be able to work the farmhouses in Iowa, hit I-80, hit all those pizza ranches that litter the map of Iowa. I think he'll be very strong in those kind of formats going into different areas. I think he'll be very strong in Iowa.
Okay. Should be a very interesting year coming up. 2019, final hours of 2019 right now, winding down here on the Ed Dean Radio Show. Let's take a look at what's going on the roads. 295 North at Lim Turner Road, there has been an accident. And then 95 North, also at Lim Turner, a crash there. Lots of fog. Be safe. Traffic brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
Remember this website, GoFlyLeasing.com. They give you a direct flight without all the hassles of waiting around with no advanced two-hour arrival time at the airport, no TSA lines, no crowded middle seat. They take care of you. Low rates for flight per hours with additional cost. Visit the website. Take advantage of it today. GoFlyLeasing.com. Get involved in their monthly membership programs as well. Don't waste a full day of layovers. GoFlyLeasing.com. That's GoFlyLeasing.com.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Holiday season is busy, so let Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Tunis Restaurant, just west of I-295, offers dine-in or takeout. The original Kronos gyros, oysters, shrimp, fish, wings, and more. It's all at the original Tunis Restaurant. A pound of gizzards or livers is just $4.99, 30 jumbo shrimp for $9.99. Check out the new Sidewinder fries. Special discounts for military first responders and school employees. The original Tunis Restaurant, open 7 days a week, on Facebook at ZBest The Original.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
WBOB is talk radio. There are a variety of ways to listen to WBOB. Streaming on the internet, on our mobile app, on 101.1 FM, and even on the AM dial. WBOB AM 600 is proud to broadcast all over the southeastern coast, from Georgia to Jacksonville to Orlando. No matter how or where you listen, WBOB is solid, reasoned talk radio.
And we are currently under a dense fog advisory and then a 50-50 chance of rain later. We'll expect a high of about 77 degrees this evening. More fog expected overnight, the low 63. Currently it is 63 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. While the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump also issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week. AAA is reporting 75% of Florida gas stations are below $2.25 a gallon. GasBuddy.com says the least expensive gas in Jacksonville is $1.92 a gallon. And Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children in the custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
And we are back. This is Kevin Derby, the editor of Florida Daily. I am hosting the Ed Dean Show along with my tag team partner, Ron Davis, an attorney from the local area. We're talking about the last hours of 2018, what's ahead for 2019. And Ron, looking at Jacksonville, to me, one of the big winners of 2018 was Congressman John Rutherford, a guy who just finished up his freshman term. Look, let's just be very candid. That congressional seat has one, maybe two jobs: protect Mayport, protect the naval community, maybe expand Jacksonville support. I'll be very candid. I was not a huge fan of Rutherford's first year. He was on Homeland Security Committee. He wasn't doing it much. And I'm like, look, follow the footsteps of Charlie Bennett, Tilly Fowler, Ander Crenshaw, and protect that Navy base. Well, he got a seat on Appropriations Committee this year. He has made the most of it. Earlier, a few weeks ago, $46 million headed to Jacksport. He's bringing the federal bacon home to the First Coast. I'm looking ahead to 2019. The Democrats now have the gavel. They have taken control of the House. But I think there are enough Republicans retiring or knocked off to keep Rutherford on that committee. And I think that's going to be a big win for the First Coast in the years to come.
No, I agree. I think it's going to be, unfortunately, for the Republicans, there's going to be quite a few more retirements in the next couple of years. Rutherford has, I think, positioned himself very well. And he's been not as heavy partisan, from what I can see in there. He's been a solid Republican vote.
Sure.
But he has, in the few times that I've talked to him and from what I've seen on the news reports, he's not a heavy partisan. He's willing to work across the aisle, but he's firm. I think that probably gets him well suited in this. I think that on the other side of the aisle, they're going to look at him and say, this is someone we can work with, someone that is. You don't want to use the word trust, but I think that's probably where it is. They trust him to at least be who he is.
It makes sense. And I think, to be very candid, to kind of go to the other side of the aisle, Al Lawson, in his first 2 years, has kind of built the same reputation. Now, granted, he's focused on off-the-beaten-path issues, hunger. He's actually deals a lot with food issues. He's on the Agriculture Committee. But he's also helped bring money to HBCUs in the district, including Edward Waters College here in Jacksonville. He's a guy. Look, I think Lawson won big. He absolutely crushed Alvin Brown in that primary. I know that a lot of conservatives liked Virginia Fuller, but folks, that is a very, very blue district until 2022. I think Lawson is a guy who, again, did not play the partisan games, essentially. And I think that has benefited Jacksonville on both fronts.
No, I agree. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was Rutherford, but one of the congressmen, he and Lawson actually worked and forged a pretty good working relationship. And I think that's something you can build on. We all want them to be partisan on a lot of these issues. The reality of it is the two of them, when it comes to the local area, work together. But not only do they work together, it seems that they're able to reach out to their collective brethren up there and get things done. So it's for Jacksonville and for this Northeast Florida, I think they're a good combo at this time.
Yeah, I agree. And looking ahead to 2019 in Jacksonville, I think the big story here is going to be the mayor's race and the local elections. Now, granted, it's December 31st. We still have quite a bit of time to go, quite a few weeks. The race hasn't really started heating up yet, though. Lenny Curry and team are already starting to ramp up. How do you see, Ron, where do you see things right now, so to speak?
Well, I think it's interesting. On Friday, we were watching commercials run. They're already running against Anna Brochet. So, I don't know if that's going to scare her out of the race or not. Mm-hmm. Right now, I don't see a strong challenge to Lenny Curry.
Yeah, I don't either right now. It's still weeks to come. Jacksonville is changing. People are, this is very possible going to be more and more a Democrat-leaning city. We kind of saw races in 2016, 2018 closing up. I don't see this as their opportunity to kind of win back the mayoralty. I just don't. Granted, I think Curry has some vulnerabilities. I think crime in particular is going to be a big one. But I think Curry is in the catbird seat. I think right now he's a favorite to win a second term.
And I agree with you. If there's an Achilles heel, it's the crime issue. He came in and that was his key focus when he ran. He was going to do something about the crime. I think he's tried. Mm-hmm. And I think that Mike Williams has tried real hard. There are more police. It's just that the problem, I think, is the problem is so focused on maybe a couple hundred individuals.
Sure.
And we're talking about the shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It would seem to me. I mean, they have listening posts down there where they can record the shots.
Mm-hmm.
They have a higher police presence. I don't know what you can do from the police any more than what they've done to try to stop this. It's really going to have to start coming from that community.
A real fallacy is that there's this thinking that if you have more police, that's going to stop people from doing crimes in the first place. When the police job, really, yeah, they're determined. You know, if they have a presence there, but for the most part, they show up after the fact and they prosecute the criminals. That doesn't stop the crime from being done in the first place. And I think that's the challenge that elected officials have, because they can't stop it beforehand.
And it's frustrating when you have the police show up to investigate these crimes. And the people that witness the crimes, the people that can help the police, refuse to do so. And that's part of that, you know, the community that's being most significantly affected by this is the community that has to start, I think, getting something done to help the police, you know, hand in hand. You know, like you said, you can have all the police presence in the world, but if you've got people who are refusing to testify, refusing to name names, you know, it's hard, and unless you're standing there when these people are committing these crimes, you can't take them in.
Yeah. Now, do you believe that the Crime Stopper program is effective? It's a private agency. People can anonymously give tips that end up with the police, and they can maintain their anonymity, which I'm assuming the reason why they don't cooperate is for their own safety. Do you think that's an effective program? I think it does do some help.
It can be.
Okay.
It can be, and I think it has been. The problem is, at the end of the day, and you can do an anonymous tip to give them information, but if you can't get the information you need to lead to the arrest, or the prosecution or conviction.
With the witness on the witness stand.
Yeah, it's of little value at that point.
You know, it's interesting. Speaking of the devil, they just ran a Lenny Curry positive campaign ad. Just ran on the TV station showing Curry basically in front of a Christmas tree with his family. Mm-hmm. Look, I think Curry's been hurt by high-profile crime incidents, whether it's the shooting at the Jacksonville Landing, of course, which I don't think was anything he could have done, whether it's the shooting at the by the town center a few months ago, or whether it was, right while Mike Williams is bashing Tallahassee's crime as part of the gubernatorial campaign, we had that shooting right by the Jaguar Stadium on game day.
Yeah.
I think those high-profile incidents haven't hurt him, but I do think that is kind of his Achilles heel, to use your phrase. I think that's absolutely right. Where he's vulnerable.
And what I think hurts Curry with that is that's the very thing he used against Alvin Brown to get elected, which may not have been fair to Alvin Brown in light of the fact that, you know, what can the mayor do to stop crime? It's the sheriff's office, you know, problem.
Yeah, and Lenny Curry is now kind of facing those questions himself. So it'll be interesting to see where he takes that in the months to come.
But he has a history now where he's tried to do something about
True.
It. He can run on something. It's just not successful yet.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's take a look at what's going on in the roads. If you're at 295 North in Lim Turner, there has been a wreck this morning at 95 North in Lim Turner, another accident, and 95 North at Norwood. There's been a crash there as well.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. Did you know that only 1% of all the diamonds in the world qualify to be a Forevermark diamond? They're the world's most carefully selected diamond and the world's most responsibly sourced diamond. These diamonds benefit the communities they're sourced from. That's why these diamonds carry an invisible Forevermark icon on their table. Most people don't know that Forevermark diamonds are individually cared for from the mine all the way to her finger. And that's where Underwoods fits in. Not everybody can carry Forevermark diamonds. And in fact, all of the companies in the Forevermark network that handle the diamond between the mine and her finger are vetted and carefully selected for their honesty and integrity to also carry that Forevermark icon. Underwoods is proud to be a part of the Forevermark network. And in fact, we were one of the first 5 in the United States invited to join. So come by and see our selection of Forevermark diamonds in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Pontevedra.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of 6, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
After the long summer, your air conditioning and heat pump have been worked to the max. You'll want to make sure you have your system checked when the weather gets cool. Snyder Air Conditioning should be your first call for your preventive maintenance needs. Why choose another air conditioning company when you can choose Snyder? You can count on Snyder to properly clean and check your system. There's a big difference between checking your system and cleaning your system. Cleaning your system will extend the life of your air conditioning unit and will also save you money on your electric bill. And right now, with 100% financing available with approved credit, there's never been a better time to upgrade your system. Snyder Air Conditioning is proud to be an Amana A-plus dealer and can fix and service any make or model. Snyder Air Conditioning is Jacksonville's number one residential air conditioning company and has been serving Jacksonville for over 40 years. Snyder Air Conditioning. Call today at 641-0600. Snyderman and Amana. License number CAC 1813307.
We are currently under a dense fog advisory in the area, then a 50-50 chance of rain expected later today, the high 77. This evening, foggy conditions return with a low of 63. Currently, it is 63 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
And this is the last day of 2018. We're about to put a wrap on it. This is Kevin Derby. I'm the editor of Florida Daily, floridadaily.com, sitting in for my friend Ed Dean, along with attorney Ron Davis. 2018, almost in the history book, Ron. Almost in the history book. 2019 ahead. I got to ask, considering how bad they were yesterday, what do you see for the Jaguars come 2019?
The quarterback situation, I don't know if there's a draft pick out there that can help them turn around this season. If they don't fix the quarterback and the offensive line, I think you're looking at the same old, same old.
There's some at least slight rumors that Eli Manning could end up here. What do you think? No?
Not happening. I'm sorry. Look, we hear these rumors every few years with Eli, with other big names. Remember the Tony Romo rumors a few years ago? Yeah. They're just not happening. I think Eli's in a bad spot in New York, to be blunt, but he's not coming to Jacksonville. We could use him, though, I'll tell you that. Two Super Bowl titles.
Okay, 222-TALK's the number, 904-222-8255.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The new year is upon us, and the federal government remains partially shut down. The impasse over border security funding persists. It's the 10th day of the shutdown. In a new year letter to President Trump, Russian President Putin says the Kremlin is open to dialogue on a wide range of subjects. One of a series of letters Putin has sent out to world leaders at the dawn of 2019. Senator Lindsey Graham says President Trump has ordered a slowdown in the pullout of U.S. troops from Syria. A South Carolina Republican lunched with the president the other day, and he describes the slowdown as a pause situation. Stock futures higher on Wall Street ahead of this morning's opening bell. Right now, Dow futures are up about 205 points. S&P futures 19.5 points higher. NASDAQ futures up 57. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. If you're on the highways, you may want to give yourself extra time if you're heading out today. We are seeing a couple of accidents, both 95 North. One is at 95 North at Lem Turner. Another wreck, 95 North at Norwood. 295 Butler Boulevard and I-10, currently no accidents. We're expecting a 50-50 chance of rain by the afternoon and a high of 77. This evening, foggy and an overnight low of 63. Right now, it is 63 at WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. AAA is reporting 75% of Florida gas stations are now below $2.25 a gallon. GasBuddy.com says the least expensive gas in Jacksonville is at $1.92 a gallon. Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children in custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And while the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump also issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal worker pay raises that were to take effect later this week.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
And you're listening to the Ed Dean Show based out of Jacksonville on WBOB. My name is Kevin Derby. I'm a proud graduate of Wolfson High School. I'm the editor of Florida Daily, and I'm sitting in for Ed. Joining me is attorney Ron Davis. We're glad to have you here,
Good
Ron.
Morning.
Good morning. We're talking about kind of wrapping up 2018, looking ahead to 2019, and looking at the Sunshine State. To me, the big winner this year is outgoing governor, incoming U.S. Senator Rick Scott. Look, it goes beyond just beating Bill Nelson. Rick Scott had a great year, okay? He promised 700,000 new jobs when he ran in 2010. We're at 1.67 million new jobs. He absolutely crushed that. Unemployment rate is 3.3%. We're looking at about 130 million tourists visiting Florida. That's going to be an all-time record in 2018. I think he's leaving Ron DeSantis a lot of good marks, but very tough marks to live up to. You know, looking back on where Rick Scott's been, what do you see as kind of his accomplishments over the last few years?
Well, you highlighted him pretty good. Okay. From the legal perspective, he's had an opportunity. The interesting thing is DeSantis is going to have an opportunity that Scott never really had, and that's to be able to make a significant difference in the Supreme Court. He's going to get those three right off the bat. Scott has not had a lot of appointments to the Supreme Court.
True.
But Scott has had the opportunity to really rework the appellate courts and, to a great extent, the circuit courts. And one of the philosophies that it appears to me that he had, and I can't say that's confirmed, but a lot of his nominations to the circuit court and to the appellate court have been young judges under the age of 50.
Sure.
And so they're going to be around for a long time. So I think his mark on this system is going to continue. For me, I think you highlighted the other issues where he's been exceedingly successful. And I think, he's done a remarkable job in job creation and the economy. For me, the winner in 2018 is, I don't disagree with your analysis, but I think it's DeSantis. He came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really did. And he was running a campaign that was floundering to the point he did that little goofy ad to try to get some attention. But, you know, he came, and I know there was a lot of criticism, especially from the establishment.
Sure.
Once he got the nomination. And I don't really think the establishment ever really got behind DeSantis. Despite that, he still came and, did solid and won the election. He's got a great – Scott left him something really strong to build on. I'm really kind of excited to see how DeSantis handles the three Supreme Court justices that he's going to have an opportunity to nominate. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm also curious to see if he maintains, from what my perspective was appointing younger judges. I don't mean 30-year-old judges. I mean 40, sure. In their 40s and early 50s to continue to have a nice strong bench. For the next 10, 20 years.
Yeah, and I think DeSantis, it was one of the issues which helped him beat Andrew Gillum in November, and that's school choice. I think it's an issue he's going to ride and ride hard in Tallahassee. He made Richard Corcoran, the outgoing state House Speaker, his education commissioner. And Corcoran is a huge supporter of school choice, and I can't imagine he would take that position without being able to make a major push for his agenda, and that is absolutely going to be expanding to school choice.
Right.
I think that's going to be an interesting issue in the weeks to come.
Well, that really is the story of the DeSantis victory. By and large, African Americans vote Democrat.
Sure.
At least 90%, a number, and about 20% of African American females, black moms in minivans who are concerned about school choice, according to all the exit polling, voted against
the potential first black governor of the state of Florida for the Republican white guy, Ron DeSantis, because of the issue of school choice. That's what they told the exit interviewers. And to see that break from the African-American, you know, loyal Democratic voting base, I think is very significant.
Yeah, absolutely. And it tells you how important the issue is.
Right.
Look, education is a school. It's one of those issues. It affects everybody. It absolutely is a driving concern for voters, and it's going to continue to be. And, you know, we all kind of look at it. It's kind of like how we see Congress. We all hate Congress, but we love our congressmen. We all don't like, well, schools are awful in America. Schools are terrible, but my kids' schools are exceptional. My kids' teachers are amazing. It's everybody else's that are bad. I think that you're starting to recognize more and more, especially having been in the state for 20-plus years now, expanded school choice is increasingly getting footholds, is increasingly popular. And look, there's still an appetite for it in Tallahassee. I think we're going to continue to see that with the new governor.
What I would be curious to see whether or not we have a trend now, or at least the beginning of a trend, of black voters voting Republican, is now they're invested. They helped to elect the guy. That's their guy, at least for the next 4 years. Will they be loyal to Ron DeSantis and the Republican Party because that's who they voted for? And will we start to see more blacks vote Republican as a result of what happened this year?
It'll be interesting. I mean, look, we heard that with Jeb Bush back in 1994, 1998, that, oh, well, Jeb Bush is going to bring African Americans back to the Republican Party. Jack Kemp is going to bring African Americans back to the Republican Party. I think they're more open. I think African Americans are more open to listening, but I don't see a major shift on this. I just don't, not in the immediate future, but they will be open. I think that's if Republicans reach out to the African American community, make their case, I think they'll at least get a good listen, essentially.
I mean, I hope they do. I think that one of the keys that, to answer your question, Roger, is probably, are they going to see any results? Are they going to see continued results? What, you know, on the national level, black unemployment is as low as it's ever been.
Right.
Sure.
And, you know, this is despite that, you know, the entire country being told that Trump is racist and everything else. But if those communities continue to see results, if they continue to see job growth, if they see their children going to better schools, going on to colleges, I think that you might see that. But the question is whether or not the community is going to start pushing itself to get those results.
Right. And what's so interesting is that, is this something that the Republican Party and those running for office who are Republicans, is that something they have to sell? Hey, listen, we've done this for the black community because, you know, out of nowhere, the school choice moms in the state of Florida, that was not a campaign issue. But the moms, they were looking at that on their own, and that's what surprised everyone.
Yeah, DeSantis, I do think DeSantis made the mistake of talking about national issues a little too much. It worked against Adam Putnam, who's probably my biggest loser of the year in Florida politics. It worked for him again in DeSantis in the primary. It didn't work for him as much in the general. I think he started seeing about the start of October, DeSantis started, instead of talking about immigration and, you know, Jerusalem and Israel and the embassy, he started talking more and more about jobs. He started talking about school choice, started talking about education, and he started hitting Gillum on school choice, on education, on crime, on other issues. I think that's what helped salvage the campaign at the end. And look, we are at 3.3% unemployment in the state. We are at record tourism numbers. Mm. The state's economy is secure. Republicans have been in charge of this state for 20 years. Based on that model, DeSantis should have had a slam dunk. He didn't. And I get it's an off-year election. I get it was a very good year for Democrats.
The turnout was like a major election, though, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Historic turnout this year.
Across the nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the highest off-year election we've seen since 1914, for gosh sake.
Right.
But I think DeSantis realized he had to talk local issues, and education, as Roger noted, was a huge part of that. Absolutely. Mm.
Okay. Well, we'd love to hear what you think. Maybe you can weigh in on this final Ed Dean show of 2018. 904-222-TALK is the number, 904-222-8255, here on the Ed Dean Radio Show. 95 North and Lim Turner. We're looking at a wreck right now. It's on the right side of the highway. 95 North, and that looks like Norwood Avenue, another wreck. And if you're going east toward downtown to I-10, we're starting to see backup this morning.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, EE, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle, and done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor, for crying out loud. Florida State License, CGC 152-6479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
SNC Square Roofing. Everything you should expect from a roofing contractor and more. Hey, it's John Vitas, the voiceover guy. SNC Square Roofing replaced my roof, and I'm here to tell you, my wife and I were amazed at their quality of work and how well they kept the job site so clean. SNC Square Roofing, from the estimate to the last shingle, you can count on a job well done. SNC Square is a certified CertainTeed shingle master applicator. Give my roofer a call today. SNC Square LLC, roofing with integrity. Call 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
A foggy start to the day, and then rain expected by the afternoon. We're looking at around a 50% chance of showers. The high 77 this evening. Foggy conditions return. Overnight, the low 63. And right now, it is 63 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children in the custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. While the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump also issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week. And the Jacksonville Jaguars lost their final game of the season yesterday. With just 5 wins and 11 losses, quarterback Blake Bortles doesn't think the team will keep him next year.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Good morning, Jacksonville. This is Kevin Derby, the editor of Florida Daily at www.floridadaily.com. I'm sitting in for my friend Ed Dean. On the last edition of the Ed Dean Show for 2018, I'm joined by attorney Ron Davis. Good morning, Ron. How are you this
Good morning. Doing well. Doing well.
Good. Yeah, we're talking about kind of wrapping up 2018, looking ahead to 2019. You know, there's, of course, the federal shutdown continues. There's now talk about freezing pay raises for federal employees. Let me just say for the record that we've had emails about this. That does not impact the military pay raise, which will be going up, I think, 2.6% in 2019. So I just wanted to get that out there. I know it's still a Jacksonville, of course, is a great Navy town. Wanted to make sure we had the right information on that. So Democrats coming in later this week to take over the House. Nancy Pelosi regains the gavel. How do you see the shutdown dance ending, so to speak?
The way it always does. It's going to be a matter of media interpretation at the end of the day. Who's going to ultimately get the blame? We're going to start hearing more and more stories about the janitor that loses that can't work, that can't do this, and they're going to focus only on the negative aspects. Someone's going to blink on the whole wall issue. I think at the end of the day, we're going to see some funding for that issue.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, it appears that President Trump is kind of dug his heels in and said, "You're going to have to come my direction before I, start talking, going your direction." It's going to be interesting to see. We just had the criminal justice reform go through, and it went through on a really solid bipartisan basis. It would be neat to see if they could find some other areas of joint concern there that they could do some things. I think if they could start working together in other areas, I think this shutdown it would be better solved. But if they come in, if the Democrats come in full belt and we're going to impeach, and start setting committees up and start subpoenaing, I could see this dragging out for quite some time.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go. I look, and there is, unfortunately, areas where they can work together. I'd say the $860 billion farm bill passed after the election, which is a huge boondoggle, was a prime example of that. There are other areas as well. But yeah, I think if they just make it all about impeachment, it's not going to help them.
Do you think they can control themselves?
That's going to be an interesting question. That's absolutely going to be an interesting question to see if they're going to be able to kind of refrain from doing it. Will they be able to kind of hold the left in? What I'm curious about, to be very candid with you, is we're kind of seeing a shift, okay? Paul Ryan, who frankly I think was one of the big losers of 2018, I think he was a disaster as House Speaker. He's leaving. Ryan, I use the phrase, was one of probably the first House Speaker who knew the name of Boba Fett. Okay, that's my Gen X standard.
Okay.
Do you know the name of the bounty hunter who tracked Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back? Yes. Okay, if you know the name Boba Fett, you're probably a Gen Xer, right? Now we're going back to the baby boomers. Look, Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, her number two, the number three, Jim Clyburn, they're all in their late 70s. I'm very curious to see how that generational change takes place on Capitol Hill, how that power shift takes place, and if they're one foot out the door with Pelosi in the leadership, who kind of takes the step to replace them? Debbie Wasserman Schultz, 5-6 years ago, would have been a prime candidate. She's now tainted goods, essentially. The question is, who's going to be able to take that step up? My fear is that vacuum is going to make sure that somebody pushes the anti-Trump agenda, the impeachment plays to the base. I think that's what we're going to see on the House leadership front from the Democrats. I really do.
But with respect to impeachment, I think that would probably be one of the biggest mistakes that the Democrats could
absolutely
do, because it would backfire on them. Trump's numbers would go up even higher, and it will fire up those on the right. And if they can maintain the discipline saying, okay, if Mueller's got anything in his collusion research he's doing right now, and if there's anything there, they would be smart to say, okay, this is what we have, where we're not going to impeach this. We have too much work to do, and we're going to let the voters decide in 2020.
Absolutely. And look, I think Trump's numbers, they'll get a little bit of a bump. There is still a large segment of the American voting body, okay? They don't like Trump, but they hate the Democrats more.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like Trump, but they hated Hillary more. They don't like Trump, but they will vote for him under certain circumstances. Frankly, the Republicans didn't get these voters. They got them in Florida and Ohio. They didn't get them in a lot of states. And even in Ohio, they kind of went for Sherrod Brown, keep him in the Senate, a staunch liberal. They brought in Mike DeWine, a very solid conservative, as governor. They will split their tickets. And I think these are the voters Trump needs to get back for 2020. I think most of the Democrats, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, will scare these voters to stay with Trump, essentially.
But, you're speaking to a growing part of the electorate right now.
Absolutely.
That's the non-party affiliated voter. And historically, they just haven't wanted to be, if they're so disgusted with both parties, they haven't participated. But now they're registering the vote and they're voting, and they're voting against, the sharp, polarization that we've got in the country, and we're going toward the middle.
Absolutely. And they will, look, whoever's in power, they don't like.
Right.
They just don't. They didn't like George Bush. They voted for Bill Clinton, but they didn't like him, so they voted for Newt Gingrich. But they didn't like him, so they voted for Clinton again. They didn't like him, so they voted for George W. But they didn't like him, so they voted for Nancy Pelosi and Obama. Uh-huh. But they didn't like them, so here comes the Tea Party. Now, you know, that's kind of where these voters are. They are always shifting. They don't like whoever's in charge. I do think Trump was able to speak to them about the draining the swamp, about the problems in Washington, about a Washington elite on both sides which doesn't care about them, about endless wars in the Middle East, and yeah, about abandoning America, about sending money overseas instead of to America, like transportation infrastructure, which was one of his issues in 2016. I'll be curious to see where these voters go in the next 2 years. They voted against Trump. Mm-hmm. For the most part, in November.
Kevin, have you seen any polling data on what really fired these people up? Is it that the fact that they don't like whoever the incumbent is, or are they just don't like the infighting that goes on across the aisle?
All of the above. Okay. They don't like where this country's gone. And look, let's just be very candid. You know, when this century started, we were having record great economic times, generally peace and prosperity, national debt pretty manageable at $6 trillion. Now, after, you know, 18 years, essentially, we're bidding adieu to 2018, saying hello to 2019. Our national debt, $20, $21 trillion.
Wow.
Endless wars, a economy which has been up and down. It's good now, but now all of a sudden there's some storm clouds gathering. We're seeing more and more layoffs in key areas like Ohio. We're starting to see the unemployment. It's solid nationally, but we always know that that doesn't cover a lot of people. And yeah, it's been a roller coaster in the stock market the last few weeks. So we will see. It's going to be interesting times. Interesting times in the days to come.
Yeah, you talk about the national debt being so high. Is there anyone talking about any plan to maybe get that paid down?
No.
No. Yeah.
They never do. They never do.
That's one of the we were talking about last week with you know, something about the sale of JEA and mm-hmm. you know, maybe creating $1 billion slush fund and all that. You can't do that with politicians. There is no such thing as a slush fund. It's a gone fund.
Yeah.
And you know, they'll find ways to spend it. I think the economy, it's going to be interesting this year. If the fuel prices remain low, we might begin to see, I think, a continued enthusiasm about the economy.
What about the, you know, Ed may call this Area 51, but you know, we had the killing of the Washington Post journalist, and there are those who speculate that Saudi Arabia is driving prices right now in order to curry the favor of the American political establishment as well as public in light of the fact that that was done. Do you think there's any truth to that, that they're driving the prices down right now?
I've read an interesting article a couple months ago, and it was almost as if the Saudi Arabians or OPEC got bamboozled mm-hmm. because they thought there were going to be more stringent sanctions on Russia, which meant that lower oil production there, which would help drive those prices up, and it didn't happen. So they increased their output thinking less was going to come from Russia, mm-hmm. and in fact, Russia's still putting out oil.
And let's take a call. We have a call from Mike who wants to talk about elections and ballots. Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Yeah, I think that something that should be high on the list for Republicans is, based on this last election, is the ballots and the ballot counting and all the fraud that went on. I think that needs to be fixed wherever it can be, because it's not only Florida, but Georgia, California, and many other states where Democrats basically blocked other people out from oversight, and the recounts went on for weeks, and that's the Republicans that should be on their list of things to fix.
The problem that we run into when it comes to elections, and I will say I think Ron DeSantis made a very good choice of bringing Mike Ertel as Secretary of State. He was in charge of elections in Seminole County. The problem that we have is, you know, you'd like to make that a national issue. It can't be. That's basically done at state and local levels, the county levels. That, you know, where do you take that? The question becomes, look, if you give, and my fear on that one is if the Republican, if the Trump administration decides we're going to have a national election oversight, my concern, to be very candid, is when the Democrats take the White House, and they will eventually, they'll do the same thing. I mean, that's my concern. I don't like giving more power to the federal government. If you give them an inch, they will absolutely take a mile.
Right. Well, if it can be something that could be fixed on a state level, that would be the preferred way to go to.
So, but I mean, like a state like California, which you mentioned, that's not going Republican anytime soon.
Yeah,
New York and Illinois.
And quite frankly, with the media and with the makeup in California,
sure.
let's assume for grins and giggles that there is widespread fraud and voter fraud out there. It works for them. So, you know, until there's a major California election that one of their favorites gets beat by mm-hmm. some of the fraud, there's no incentive for them to investigate or worry about it. And the media sure doesn't care.
Right.
I mean, the media doesn't care at all if illegals are voting in California.
All right, Mike, thank you for your call. Let's take a look at what's going on in the roads. 95 north at Lim Turner, there's been a crash. 95 north at Norwood, another wreck. And 295 north at Duval Road, there's a broken down car on the side of the highway.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Hey, this is Anita Hiles with Rapid Fire Real Estate, and I have some fantastic news. Effective January 2019, we are moving to prime time. That's right, we will be live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. I will be ready for your commute home. So you want to tune in, because we will still bring you the latest trends in Jacksonville and keep you updated on what's happening around the area. Each week, we'll have different professionals, whether it be a lawyer, a lender, or anyone in between. Rapid Fire Real Estate, live every Wednesday at 5 p.m.
Once the fog lifts, we're expecting a cloudy day with a 50-50 chance of rain, 77 degrees the high. And more fog tonight, low of 63. Right now it is 63 at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Good morning, Jacksonville. This is Kevin Derby. I'm hosting the Ed Dean Radio Show. I'm the editor of Florida Daily, floridadaily.com. Proud member of the Wolfson Wolfpack. We'll be coming back in a little bit to wrap up 2018, look ahead to 2019, along with yours truly and Ron Davis, attorney